in our year according to him. When he sounded like he said, by the Auditor General, each one. 2, page 3, page 4. we propose Parliament should deal with treaties flowing from what we got from our workshop. Amongst the things, of course, I won't quote the report, but among the things we said that the current process of dealing with treaties is archaic, is anarchist, it's not streamlined, and doesn't speak to Parliament's new position in international relations and the evolution of Parliament's role in international relations. So the proposal therefore was, amongst others, one, to look at mandates, the issuing of mandates by Parliament during the negotiation process, because you will know, members, there was consensus amongst us that the treaty-making process involves Parliament at the very minute at the tail end, so which basically reduces Parliament to a mere rubber stamp. And the one in question, for instance, was this Cotonou partnership, where we raised the issue of nuclear disarmament, raised that we could only raise that as a reservation, or in fact recommend to the department to reserve or declare put a reservation on the issue, and that's the extent. So the issue of the issuing of mandates, of course, cognizant of the fact that Parliament is not involved in the negotiation of treaties. It is an executive prerogative. Mm. Right? However, Parliament and the executive will come to an understanding so that Parliament is in a position to issue mandates and provide a possible framework within which the negotiations should take place. The second issue was the issue of the national interest analysis, the national interest matrix, where the executive would have to explain to Parliament before we can agree to a treaty what the national interest analysis is, where our national interest lies in that particular treaty, and how it relates to our domestic priorities, how it assists us to achieve our developmental challenges. And then the following proposal, of course,
for some reason, I can lower your parliament. For some reason, this thing just goes on.
Now, the proposal was that Parliament should look at developing a manual for dealing with treaties in Parliament generally. Because, amongst others, you have, there are various committees, by the way, dealing with treaties in Parliament. But there is no uniform way of dealing with these treaties. And in fact, there are instances where strictly committees should have conferred on a number of issues. They simply don't. A point in question, again, just to be practical, is the second revision that we just did. If Parliament has a uniform way of dealing with it, it would have or should have compelled this committee to engage with trade and industry in particular on the second revision of the Cotonou Partnership Agreement. Equally, you have the treaty on human rights and what is it, of course, there's also the treaty with Chuba recently concluded, but there was the one on human rights and what that was deposited with the UN. Again, it was dealt with purely as a legal issue. It was dealt with by justice and constitutional development. If there was a uniform way, they would have been compelled to engage with us. So we need that uniform way of dealing. The development is of a manual in that regard. And then oversight strategy. While South Africa is a signatory to a plethora of treaties, ranging from cultural to political, all these issues. But there is a lack on the side of Parliament to oversight over these treaties. So there needs to be an oversight mechanism put in place. That regard to Now, there are two ways of possibly dealing with 3Gs. The proposal is you could deal with 3Gs on the basis of how we are dealing with them now, you know, having each line function committee, each committee, portfolio committee overseeing each line function department, dealing with its own 3G and confer with other committees relevant to, you know, to the 3G. Or Parliament creates some standing committee on 3Gs that should ideally be made up of, you know, the committees that normally deal with international 3Gs primarily, which would, for instance, those would be international relations, justice, and constitutional development, trade and industry. So those are among the main ones, you know, to perhaps look at, and I mean, you could do a broader analysis to see which others would also normally deal with 3Gs. Set up a standing committee, and it then becomes the focal point for dealing with 3Gs. So whether it then, from there, it could, you know, possibly refer a particular 3G to a line function, you know, portfolio committee, to a portfolio committee, you know, depending, of course, on the nature of the 3G. So that's the one proposal that could be looked at in terms of dealing with the 3G. So that committee will then also be able to do the referral of a 3G to a particular committee. Currently, that referral is done by the NAT. They do it, they look at the issues and they decide whether this is a justice and constitutional or this is, you know, art and culture and so on. Now, I think part of the result of that approach is precisely that because they are not politicians, they don't understand the broader issues, you know, pertaining to, they read the text of the treaty and they decide, you know, without being able to interpret the broader context within which this treaty finds expression, and therefore they need to identify other committees, you know, to also be involved. So if you have that, there's something wrong. So that's then the one proposal that they would do the sifting, they would you know, scrutinize, they would prepare them for debate in the House, they would consider the national interest analysis, and of course consider any other question relating to treaties or an instrument referred to Parliament. So those are the two proposals that needs to be looked at. Yeah.
Sorry, Chair, there's one thing about the treaties that worry me. There's no roadmap, there's no route we're going to. The President of Namibia come and sign a treaty and we read in the newspaper that he signed a treaty and we don't even know what it's about. So there must be a simple out roadmap. When it comes with the treaty, it's going this direction, and at some stage that it comes through this committee. I like the idea of a combined committee of different departments. That will at least help to work the load of treaties that's lying here, that 300 that's not touched yet, that's lying here. They can work through that as well to see if it's really, you know, still something that we need or don't need or whatever. But I'm just worried that we don't know that we are in international, we don't know that treaties. It just bypasses all the time.
Yeah, no, thank you. But that is precisely what the issue of the framework for mandate speaks to. So that if there's a 3G, at the beginning of the 3G negotiations, Parliament will be able to say, look, here's the framework. So Parliament will be involved at that point already. So that at the tail end, when that 3G, you know, is signed, Parliament has the opportunity to make an input. So you are right. I believe it's covered under the framework for mandate. But you're absolutely right. That's what you need to do.
Thank you, Richard. I can make the following observations. The first one is, whilst the sentiments express what remains noble, I'd like to find out the proposals that have been made in here, how have that been checked against any of the legal people in Parliament? I'll tell you why. First of all, the executive is obliged on an annual basis to send things to Parliament. They're supposed to give a list of all of these things, and they're supposed to give motivational and a range of other things and to you. Now, there's a deficiency in that. It doesn't happen. So, you know, we've got to say something about that aspect. Secondly, the reason why I also have it be checked against any legality in Parliament, if you look at both the rules of Parliament and if you look at the Constitution, it provides how we deal with international matters. You might like it or you might not like it. So if we propose anything to that extent, then it is either the Constitution that we are challenging here, or we are challenging the rules of Parliament. For example, in the rules tomorrow, we would be adopting a joint defense report. The way of the rules committee to do that. Now, equally so, the rules that our committee we should have are written before 7 a.m. and sometimes alone. And then the question then is how do we foresee something outside of what we are made up of needs to happen in that putting together something, let's say, outside where it is, we want to set up something outside of, let's say, this committee, just to deal with treaties, as opposed to asking that what we need to do is to even enhance this committee's own oversight, because I was agreed with the members. A lot of the international stuff happens outside of this. We sort of see at everything. Even in other communities, we sort of don't quite feature a lot in that. Now, do we want to weaken ourselves further by proposing what we are proposing, or don't we want to strengthen ourselves rather, but also say something to the effect of giving us the power to bring everyone together and do this concurrent thing? But more in a structured, you know, sort of a must, not a may, sort of a must. I also have a sense in what I'm saying. My worry is, don't water us down any further from what we are already. Rather strengthen us and empower us a little bit more as a committee to be dealing with a range of things. Because that other route you're asking for, that's not going to happen tomorrow, because they're simply going to go back and find out
something else that would be able to treat them. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Wow. So, well, I think that the Lord Speaker is covering me on one aspect. On the legality of the proposal, whereby is there no crossing of lines with the stipulations of the Constitution or the rules. Just on that one, to me, we need to get clarity on that. And so there must be some kind of consultation with the state advisors or whomever, and advisors, so that we are safe in what we are proposing. The second issue, I do believe, Chairperson, that the bottom line with me is that this committee has to be involved, or must be involved, on any issue relating to internationalization. That means that we can't come right at the end. We cannot even abdicate our responsibility. That's the bottom line with me. We must be at the center of the international relations, because our issue is as articulated in the proposal and as was expressed before, national interest and a good relation, ensuring the sovereignty of our state, of our country. That is very crucial. Our involvement is based on that, so that our policy, the international relations policy that we're supposed to be guarding and become custodians of in Parliament, and is, and we say it in our way, so that we're consistent, Chairman, with our policy and international, rather national interest as well. And whatever that we do is bigger, does not cross the lines with the Constitution. So if maybe I have nothing against the Senate committee and on treaties, my only fear is that Senate committee on treaties will only be dealing with treaties and maybe legalities of treaties. The mandate of this committee is much broader than that. Very broadly political. It brings tenacity to translations of South Africa, Lesotho, or any other country, make an example. So that's my view, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether I make sense in what I'm saying.
No, thank you. No, you make perfect sense. I think there are two options that you presented to me. Now, clearly, sounds like members are in favor of more of the option of keeping the treaty within the committee. In that sense, you said it, that let's not weaken the committee by creating some animal out there. So let's strengthen the committee and look at how we can do that. Of course, within the framework of what is legal, because remember, treaties, they are negotiations and conclusions for signing are the responsibility of the executive, which is our constitution. However, Parliament needs to carve out its own niche within that, because the problem is that Parliament comes in at a failure. That is why the thinking, therefore, is to say, look, we need to reach an understanding with the executive, short of a constitutional amendment that grants us more power than that, but an understanding with the executive around, amongst others, the issue of the mandate. Very important. So, this then is what we're going to do. Having heard your views around the standing committee and strengthening the committee, right? We will then look at. So, there's one option now. That's an oxymoron. There's one option. That's an oxymoron. And that. Look, if there's one, it's not an option. There's only one. It's an option. So, what we will do, so within this document, the issues, what remains relevant amongst others, for instance, is the issue of the framework for mandates remains relevant. The issue of the national interest analysis remains relevant. The development of a manual that we are talking about as well remains relevant. The question of the oversight strategy remains relevant. And then, if you go to page 2, where the other option comes in, that then will fall out. Just for the audience, I'll do it in a second. The, and listening to is we will then specifically go now, having gotten your view around the either or scenario. We will now go back, go through the issues that you raised in addition to what has been put here, and we come with the one proposal which is the one that is more favorable in terms of how to be strengthened and specifically look at that.
I quickly want to say there's one thing that we must put on this list, and that we must specify our mandate as a committee, what we are going to do. Because we are the only people that's involved in treaties. There's other departments that's also involved. And when we finish it, what's our mandate, and then it has to be distributed to, if we want to go that route, to other committees who is also involved, because not only us, there's a lot of people in different committees involved, and how are we going to cope with that?
Yes, okay, that's fine, we can do that. But what would be important for all of our members is that once you've done this, and we must conclude now, once you've done this, before we take this to the House, we need to engage with the policy house. I'll tell you why. Because in engagement, in discussions that we had with the Speaker around this issue, he was very much interested and was actually excited by the fact that we were working on, you know, on proposals in terms of how we should deal with this kind of thing. But we also need him for the principals for another reason. Depending on what the final product is that emerges from our engagement, it might require some amendments to the rules. It might require, I'm not saying it will, but it might require some amendments to the rules. So it is best that, you know, we have the principals on board, you know, engage with them around and get their support for what we seek to do.
Just a quick thing on the rules. I serve on the committee the subcommittee on changing the rules at the moment. And I would encourage us to jump into the stream now already to make our proposal rather than
the moment. We'll work on it at our next meeting when it's possible.
No, thank you, honourable members. I think that concludes our honourable November. Thank you very much for coming to the aid of the community. We
love you. November.
November. Let me quickly say this. Since we are not going to, I'm sure you've received the correspondence around the Palestine, Israel, right? Since we're not going, we're looking at possibly fitting in an oversight, not next week, the other week. Sorry? No. not another fight. But at least to the DECO head office, to look at the issues that emanated out of the Auditor General's report. The issues of supply chain, asset verification, and the public.